Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Loving people means doing the hard things for them, not the easy things for us. Notice today's gospel reading and this conversation between Peter and Jesus. There are three key verses here that help illustrate this. There's Peter's comment to Jesus, Jesus's rebuke to Peter, and then Jesus's call to all of the disciples. So let's take a look at each part here. First, Peter's comment to Jesus. Now, I must start off by saying that I really like Peter. He can go from looking really smart to really stupid real quick. He's very much like us. Last week, we heard that with Roman culture all around him, Peter confessed to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," which was great. But now, Jesus tells his disciples what it means for him to be the Messiah. It means suffering and pain and death. And so Peter pulls him aside and says, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." Now, I think that Peter often gets a bad reputation here. Many times it's seen as if he's intentionally trying to lead Jesus off of his path. But I don't think that's true, for two reasons. First, I think that Peter is a product of his culture. Right? Yes, he probably thinks that the Messiah is supposed to be a King David type figure, someone who's going to kick out the Romans, which means he thinks the Messiah shouldn't suffer and die. But then again, that's what plenty of people back then thought. So Peter is not alone in thinking this. So we can't fault him for that. And second, and most importantly, Peter really loved Jesus. Yes, Peter said some dumb things now and then, but he did love Jesus. For example, at the Last Supper, Peter is the one who said, "Though all become deserters of you, I will never desert you. Even though I must die with you, I will never deny you." He's also the one who pulled out his sword to defend Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, yes, we know that Peter did deny Jesus, and Jesus did tell him to put the sword away. But even though Peter's actions were wrong, his motivation was right. He loved Jesus. Yes, he got scared at times. Yes, he denied Jesus. Yes, he even lacked faith sometimes. Remember the recent story of him out on the water. But he really did love Jesus. He was one of the first ones to follow him. He dropped his fishing nets, his business, his life in order to follow Jesus, even though he had no idea where he was going. So I think that's why it's easy for us to relate to Peter. He has his faults and his problems like we do, but his heart for Jesus is in the right place, just like ours. And so I think when he pulls Jesus aside here and says, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you," it sounds like he's trying to protect his friend and teacher. I don't think he's intentionally trying to lead Jesus off of his path. It's as if he's saying, "No, Jesus, I don't want these horrible things to happen to you. It would be so much better and so much easier if that didn't happen." Right? He's trying to show Jesus love, which makes sense. If you love someone, you don't want them to get hurt, right? Like if one of your loved ones told you that they were going to have some medical test done, you would probably say, well, I'll pray that all turns out well for you. Not, I'll pray that you get horrible results. Right? No, you don't want bad things to happen to the people you love. You want to protect them and keep them safe. This is where Peter is. Jesus just said that he's going to suffer and die. And Peter does not want that to happen to him. But after he says that, Jesus doesn't offer him any word of comfort. He doesn't say, oh, it'll be all right, Peter. You'll see. Don't worry about it. No. Instead, Jesus says the second big line of this text. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Yikes. Just 6 verses ago, Jesus called Peter a rock. Now he's calling him a stumbling block and Satan. Well, that seems a little harsh, doesn't it? Where is his compassion for his friend here? If Peter was intentionally trying to lead Jesus astray, then maybe a firm rebuke like this was called for. But if Peter's just clueless, then that's different. Well, in either case, Peter doesn't understand what it means to be the Messiah. And Jesus still lashes out at him. Well, I imagine that Peter was stunned silent after that. His best friend, his teacher, his Messiah just insulted him, and it really hurt. I bet all of the other disciples didn't know what to say after that either. If Jesus called Peter Satan, what would he say to the rest of them if they spoke up? But why call Peter Satan in the first place? Why not just call him a fool or use some other term? Peter was just trying to keep Jesus safe, right? Did his comment really call for that kind of response? Well, actually it did. Because Jesus is refusing to be tempted here. Even if Peter didn't intend it that way, the temptation is still there for Jesus. Go back to that temptation scene in the wilderness. Right? The tempter knows who Jesus is. If you are the Son of God, he said. He was trying to make Jesus think that being the Son of God was all about having power over others. Being the Son of God means that Jesus could turn stones into bread, or jump from the temple without getting hurt, or even rule the whole world if he only worshiped the tempter. Well, Jesus, of course, wouldn't succumb to it. And so this is another temptation scene for him. In Peter's comment, Jesus hears the voice of the tempter. You don't have to die. You're powerful enough to just kick out the Romans. That's what the Messiah is supposed to do anyway. You can live and rule without suffering and dying. Doesn't that sound much better than the cross? But Jesus probably thinks, easier? Yes. Better? No. Jesus will not give in to it. And Peter needed to be told that. Jesus will not take the easy road because it's not the right road. This is very similar to Dumbledore's famous line at the end of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. he said, "Dark times lie ahead of us. And there will be a time when we must choose between what is easy and what is right." Well, today we know all about dark times. We know about COVID-19, racism, riots, murder hornets, unemployment, coin shortages, lack of human contact, explosion in Beirut, plus the upcoming presidential election. We know about doing school in a new way. We know about two storms, Marco and Laura, which basically hit at the same time. We know about wanting things to go our way. We know about wanting to take the easy road and just be done with our problems. Like, we think it would be so much better if we could just ignore it all, or run away from it all, or join those two astronauts who went to the International Space Station in May. It would be so much easier if we could just drown our sorrows, or lose ourselves in our screens. It would be so much easier to just look out for ourselves and our families, and then think that the rest of the world can fall apart. But taking the easy road is not what it means for Jesus to be the Messiah, or what it means for us to be his disciples. And that brings us to the third key part of this text: Jesus's call to the disciples. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" Or in other words, I, as the Messiah, could take the easy way. I could give in to temptation and focus on myself. I could save my own life. But that wouldn't show love. That would not save the world. That would be selfish. In the same way, you, as my disciples, are called to choose what is right, not what is easy. Following me is hard, because the cross is heavy. There are responsibilities and burdens. There are things you must bear for the sake of others. Life will not always go according to your plans. But life is not about focusing on yourself and preserving your tiny selfish ego. Life is about giving up yourself for others, so they can have the love they need too. This is the way of the Messiah. Jesus chose what is right over what is easy. And he did so for people like Peter and you and me. He chose suffering and the cross and death in order to show you how far God's love goes for you. It goes to the grave, and then it breaks the grave's grip upon you. Nothing, not any temptation or COVID-19 or even death can stop that. Because of that love, Peter and the other disciples were changed. And they ended up laying down their lives for others too. Yes, it took them some time. But Peter, for example, became one of the strongest leaders in the early church. he knew that his life wasn't about him and his plans anymore. It wasn't about whether he said the right thing or made the right choices all the time. It was about Jesus, who is full of forgiveness and new life when we mess up. Tradition says that Peter was even martyred, crucified upside down, because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same way Jesus was. Like Peter, we know that Jesus does a much better job of being in charge than we ever will. And so we give it up. We let go. We obey. We follow. We do the hard thing of loving others, of reaching out to them, of laying down our lives for their sake, because that's what Jesus did for us. For example, take all of the parents now who are laying down their lives to teach their kids at home. Take all of the teachers who are laying down how they thought this school year should go in order to adjust to teaching in a new way. Take all of the families who haven't visited loved ones for a long time in order to keep them safe and healthy. Take all of the people who are wearing masks, even if they're uncomfortable, in order to protect others. Take all of the people who are making phone calls to stay in touch with others, even if they don't really like talking on the phone. Take all of the medical personnel who are working long hours in order to care for those affected by the virus. Take all of the garbage collectors and sanitation workers and mail carriers and so many others who keep on working to serve their communities. Take all of the caregivers who still provide care even though feeling extra overwhelmed right now. Take all of the other people who are sacrificing and giving up the easy road in order to serve others. This is the life of discipleship. It's not easy, but it is what shows love. And so that means whether the world is overrun by the Roman Empire or COVID-19 or stress and anxiety, we all need more love. And showing love can be hard, but it's what the world needs, especially now. The disciples of Jesus show it because he first showed it to us. He gave his life for us so that we can give our lives for others. He really is the Messiah. In the name of the one who laid down his life for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.